Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and talking this week about the times we're living in. I asked the question at the beginning of the week, what time is it? It's a way of understanding what's the Spirit saying to the church is a good way to think about it, because you know, the Holy Spirit given to us, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Holy Spirit dwells in the church. The Holy Spirit wants to help guide us to understand and to cooperate with God's purpose and plan. We've been talking about the big picture on Monday and Tuesday for situating ourselves right where the church calls us to be, right where the Lord calls us to be, understanding the moment we're living in, that we're living in the last hour of human history. That we're living in the time of the church, which is the time between the two comings of Jesus. He came as a lamb the first time to lay down his life for the sins of the world, to make it possible for people to be saved, to come to know God, and to join the family of God. But he's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And the catechism, based on the teaching of Scripture, makes it clear that this last period of time is a time of mission, that where the church lives with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the church, the Lord gives us a capacity and power in the Holy Spirit to overcome our enemies. First, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh in us, that part of us that resists God, because to subdue it, and the saints are living witnesses to us with such great power of what can happen if we just keep saying yes to Jesus and saying yes to the work of the Holy Spirit in us and making the most of the time that we're living in, receiving all the graces we can that we can receive from the sacraments, to be engaged in what in our vocation in a way that Jesus calls us to walk in humility, walk in obedience to him, that in our daily life, he will transform us and, you know, lead us, as St. Paul says, from one degree of glory to the next. That is the sharing in God's glory, not just the experience of glory on the earth here, but to be able to come deeper and deeper into God's own life and God's own glory, which is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And the Lord wants us to do that, so that in this moment, we can radiate the beauty and majesty of Christ to a world that needs to see it and to touch it and to hear it. But we know, as the Catechism said, that the church is engaged in this mortal combat with our enemy, Satan, and we're engaged in a trial with evil, a battle, a time of distress. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, the first few days of the week here, I've talked a bit more about that. If you're interested, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net and listen to the program right there. But also, we've heard from the recent popes and what they've described about the time we're living in. St. John Paul II calling it like the final confrontation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. Pope Benedict XVI saying humanity's pushing God from the human horizon. Humanity's losing hold of its bearings. Sister Lucia of Fatima writing a letter to the Pope saying that the final battle between Satan and the Lord is going to be over marriage and the family, and look where we are. So are we living at the end times? Well, in the big picture, yes, we're in the final chapter of human history, but do we know Jesus is coming next week? We don't know. We don't know when he's going to return, but he did tell us, he gave us signs, proximate signs of what we would see prior to his return. And one of the things we'll see is what I read from 2 Timothy yesterday from St. Paul, where he's describing the spiritual strongholds that are laying hold of the minds of believers in the last days and the strongholds that Satan is trying to establish in the church. Chapter 3, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying its power. Avoid such people." Now, there's a lot of that happening right now. And some of it's actually happening in the church. People who are actually leaders in the church in some cases, who are holding the form of religion but denying its power. One of the things I believe that we're seeing in the church, and we're seeing why God is permitting this trial to happen, and why the sins of the church are being exposed of a particular kind, is that the Lord is coming to break a stronghold that's holding parts of the church in bondage. And that stronghold is a kind of deep, pervasive, predatory action of homosexuals in the church who have decided against chastity, who've decided not to live out the call to celibacy, but are engaged in predatory behavior that's very dangerous. And it's somehow, even with what the church went through in Dallas in 2002, which was a real step forward for the church in saying, look, we're gonna handle these cases that emerge with zero tolerance. We're going after it. We're going to deal with it. And in many ways, the church has actually done that. But we came out of it not having finished the job. The wound that was present in the church is a deep wound. That's one way of looking at it. And as the prophet, I think it was Jeremiah or Isaiah said, you know, they were being corrected. He was speaking prophetically, correcting Israel that they had treated their wound lightly. They had covered it. They hadn't dug down and got to the core of it so that it could be healed. They hadn't exposed it fully to light. And what came out of the 2002 Dallas Charter were some very good decisions, but an incomplete gesture. Because what ended up happening was two things. One was the bishops themselves could not be subject to the zero tolerance and the punishment and discipline of it, because the bishops, I guess my understanding is the bishops can only be subject to the Pope in terms of discipline. So they weren't as subject to it as aggressively as priests were, which caused lots of different kinds of problems. But secondly, what ended up happening is we made it look like, or the leaders of the church made it look like, the fundamental problem they were addressing was the problem of pedophilia. That is, clergymen having sexual, abusing prepubescent boys, prepubescent children. Well, that's a percentage of what happened, but it's a small percentage compared to the much larger percentage. And you see the same thing in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure it's coming out now in other states as well, that the majority of the cases, and in some states, in the John Jay study that the bishops himself commissioned, that a large percentage of them were with postpubescent boys and even with young adults. And it's a homosexual problem. And there's a significant issue there that didn't get dealt with. I'm not sure if the bishops wanted to avoid it because of the pushback of the larger gay lobby in society, that we'd be accused of blaming victims or whatever. Whatever the reason, that is the core of this particular stronghold that the Lord wants to deal with. I believe the Lord has roused himself, that he's coming forward and he's exposing this, and it's a humiliating and difficult time for the church. But he wants to get at this reality and break its hold. I mean, the scripture uses the term stronghold. It's interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Well, the image there, the image of a stronghold is, think of a fortified city, a defensive structure that has a wall built around it, a stone wall, to keep out the invading army. What happens is, and this can happen in individuals, it can happen in groups of people, it can happen potentially in whole countries like the communist world. You know, Soviet communism was a massive stronghold. But what can happen is, in the case, I think, of what we're dealing with the predatory homosexuality that's present in the church, is that individuals who've been tempted and seduced by the enemy have gotten to the point in their life that they've accepted the behavior and that they desire the behavior. And they've met others who feel the same way. And that behavior has spread. And it's also been protected. It's like a wall, and the enemy, once the enemy enslaves us, and the more we say yes to sin, the deeper we ourselves individually become enslaved to habit patterns of sin, and our mind gets darkened by the habit patterns of sin because we no longer are walking in grace. And we push away the light of God because we're now subject to an idol that we're serving with our life. We're subject to a deep habit pattern of sin, something that's deeply offensive to God, and you become a slave to it. And you can't, you live in a way that you don't think you can live without it. And you keep giving permission to it. And then you build a defensive wall around it to protect it. One, protect it, hide it so nobody will find out. There's all kinds of that's gone on in the church. And the stronghold is present in the church because major leaders in the church, people of real influence themselves have, some have been involved in it, some of them, and have protected it. And they've allowed people like Archbishop McCarrick to become a very powerful man, for example, in the church, arguably the most powerful cleric at one time here in the United States not too long ago. But someone who has this predatory behavior throughout his life as a leader, even in the church. How does that happen? People keep saying, how does that happen? It's a spiritual stronghold. People are enslaved to it for all kinds of reasons. It gets protected. And then when people see it, people in leadership see it, it just seems too big a deal to handle in the public square. It's too big. And as soon as you start pressing against key people in those kinds of strongholds, they've got all kinds of people protecting them and their position. And the reason, there's reasons why the church hasn't dealt with this herself. So the Lord's coming, and the Lord is here, and he's using the world, even enemies of the church, to expose this weakness in the church. And the Lord's end game is the salvation of souls, is a church that's alive and healthy and radiant and not distracted by its own sin and in some way in bondage to the devil, but is alive in Christ and is burning with love to reach out to a lost world. But if we're in bondage and enslaved, we don't have a credibility in the world. We have no power. Without the Holy Spirit, without walking in Christ, we're not going to have the power to influence anybody. And Jesus is a man on the mission, on a mission. Don't forget that. He loves us, but I'll tell you what he loves first. What he loves most is he loves his Father and his Father's will. And he will come ultimately. It's right there in the scripture. I'll talk about it tomorrow. He will destroy all the opposition to his Father's will, whether it's outside the church or in the church. He doesn't need a giant church to fulfill his purpose. Friends, let's continue to reflect on this tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.